Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sandishya Sarulokasya.
Sandishya Sarulokasya.
Karane Karana Priya.
Karane Karana Priya.
Kama Rupa Dharam Dikshu.
Kama Rupa Dharam Dikshu.
Dhanavan Griham Avishat.
Dhanavan Griham Avishat.
Sandishya Sarulokasya.
Sandishya Sarulokasya.
Karane Karane Karana Priyan.
Karane Karana Priyan.
Kama Rupa Dharan Dikshu.
Kama Rupa Dharan Dikshu.
Dhanavan Griham Avishat.
Dhanavan Griham Avishat.
Shia.
Sandishya.
After giving permission. Saru Lokasya of the saintly persons. Karani in persecution. Karanapriyan to the demons who were very expert at persecuting others. Kama Rupa Dharan. Who could assume any form according to their own desire? Dikshu. In all directions. Dhanavan. To the demons. Griham Avishat. Kamsa entered his own palace. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. These demons, the followers of Kamsa, were very expert at persecuting others, especially the Vaishnavas, and could assume any form they desired. After giving these demons permission to go everywhere and persecute the saintly persons, Kamsa entered his palace. Okay, no purport. Let me read the next one. Te vai vajat prakitayas tamasa mudha chetasaha sotam vidvesham acherur arad agatam vityava. Surcharged with passion and ignorance, and not knowing what was good or bad for them, the asuras, for whom impending death was waiting, began the persecution of saintly persons. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Dehinos minyata dehe kaumaram yovanam jara tata dehantara praptis diras tatrana muhyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. The responsible persons, surcharged with passion and ignorance, foolishly do things that are not to be done. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. But one should know the results of irresponsible actions, as explained in the next verse. I'll read the next verse, which doesn't have a purport. Ayuk shriyam yasho dharmam lokan ashisha evacha honti shriyam si saravani pungso madad atikramaha. My dear king, when a man persecutes great souls, all his benedictions of longevity, beauty, fame, religion, blessings, and promotion to higher planets will be destroyed. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 10th canto,
fourth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Atrocities of King Kamsa. Prabhupada's translation of the first of these verses, he renders sandishya, which we could translate just as ordering or instructing, indicating. Prabhupada says giving permission. Kadane kadana priyan. Giving permission to go ahead and harass the innocent citizens because kadana priyan. They like to do that. Such asuras don't have to be forced to commit mayhem. It's their pleasure to do violence to innocent creatures. Civilized person should never do such a thing. We may not be great authorities or great controllers. We may have only a small household, one wife and a few children, that we can say are under our control. There may be nobody else in the world that we have any influence over. And even our family may not listen to us. But still, every person has the responsibility to be merciful to those who are dependent on him, even if almost nobody is dependent on you. Otherwise, Krishna will arrange that you'll be in a situation where you'll have no dependents. You can be an insect living all by yourself on the edge of some leaf. It's a privilege to be allowed to live in human society, and we should responsibly carry out the duties of that responsibility. Which means to be merciful, to be compassionate. But demons, human beings, or higher beings, residents of Bhuvar Loka, some of them are demons. Rakshasas, yakshas, some of them are demons. They violate this principle, and they take pleasure in giving pain and destroying innocent creatures who did nothing to deserve that violence. And we have, in this modern age, the majority of human beings are living like such demons. According to this standard, that a demon commits unnecessary violence to persons who actually he should give protection to. Nowadays, the country that's supposed to stand for independence and freedom is oppressing other people. And people around the world hate such a country that hypocritically, in the name of democracy, is imposing dictatorships. And in family life, children are rejecting the authority of their parents. Women want independence from their unfaithful husbands. And nobody's satisfied. And it's all the result of those who have some authority over others not dealing with them compassionately, but instead unnecessarily committing violence against innocent creatures. And it begins with meat-eating. Then the population becomes a meat-eating population, then they lose their sense of compassion. You can't be engaged constantly in the slaughter, directly or indirectly, of innocent creatures and still have any sense of decency. And then you get severe reactions. Famines, war, natural disasters. They don't happen just by chance. They happen especially to meat-eating populations. And so these demons, they were the abnormal. They had to be imported from the higher planets to take part in Krishna's pastimes. Nowadays we have plenty of indigenous meat-eating demons. The whole population practically has been indoctrinated into this demoniac culture. Even though they're in their hearts basically decent people, a common people, they're not really demons at heart. But they're being infected by the demoniac nature because of the habits that are inculcated in them, especially this meat eating. It leads to all other forms of violence and cruelty. And a person who persecutes, a man who persecutes great souls, all his benedictions of longevity, beauty, fame, religion, blessings, and promotion to higher planets will be destroyed. So Prabhupada points out in his translation to verse 44, the demons were expert at persecuting others, especially the Vaishnavas. It's bad enough that we're committing violence against innocent animals and against our dependents, you know, our family and others who are our dependents. But we're picking on the Vaishnavas, going out of our way to persecute the Vaishnavas. That is a hardcore, serious demon. We're asked to identify the Vaishnavas as his enemies and go out of his way to cause them harm. Such a person who commits violence against the Vaishnavas, all his assets are destroyed, spiritual and material. This is sadhu-ninda. What to speak of doing violence, even to criticize, even to think badly of a Vaishnava, is nama-aparad, it's Krishna-aparad, and it's Vaishnava-aparad altogether. And such a person, even if he's done some pious work and earned some punya, good karma, all of it's destroyed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compared Vaishnava-aparad to what happens when an elephant that is going crazy, a mad elephant, enters your garden. He will trample all the plants and destroy everything. So we're growing our devotional creeper, and it's the other flowers that grow along it with it. The byproducts of devotional service are growing in our garden of devotion. But if we let this mad elephant offense in, then everything will be crushed. Our spiritual life will be destroyed. Therefore, Vaishnavas have to very carefully guard against committing offenses against other Vaishnavas. Asuras, demons, don't care. But Vaishnavas should care. Should be very careful about how they deal with other Vaishnavas. Even how you deal with those who are not Vaishnavas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that you must be very careful, and you must have a proper attitude how you deal with everybody. Amanina mamadhina kirtaniya sadahari. You can continue with this devotional process of chanting Krishna's names, and you can carry it out to the end of your life and perfect your life, if you are not looking for material respect from anybody, and if you're ready to give appropriate respect to everybody, then there won't be any obstacle in your chanting Hare Krishna. There will not be any fall down or obstruction. Kirtani Aksada Hari. This is required. There's no other salvation in Kali Yuga. We can't plan to perform some prayaschitta or atonement for our offenses. Once we commit, if we commit seva aparad or Krishna aparad, then we can chant Krishna's names to atone for those ordinary offenses. Offenses committed, they're sins. There are sinful activities which are just evil deeds, things that are against the laws of nature. That is papa or sin. Aparada means a person is trying to engage in the service of the personality of Godhead, but he's being disrespectful or offensive in the way he's going about it. Aparada, it's improper worship. It's different than sin. Sin means you're just trying to exploit the material world, and you're doing it by illicit means. Aparad means you're trying to rectify yourself and engage in the service of the Lord, but you're making serious mistakes and committing insults to Krishna. That's aparada. So aparadha against Krishna in his deity worship or in other ways can be rectified by taking shelter of Krishna's names. Krishna's names are supremely purifying. Vaikuntha nama grahanam ashesh agaharam viduhu. The great sages know, according to Yamaraj, that chanting the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead eradicates the most egregious sins. But what if you commit an offense against the holy name itself? Then there's no deliverance. Or the only deliverance is more chanting. We are trying to chant Krishna's names. We're practicing. This practice goes through three phases. In the lowest phase, in the beginning phase, most likely we're committing very serious offenses. This is the aparad stage of nam. We're chanting the name, but it's so offensive that there's no effect. It's completely clouded over by our offenses. By a sufficient practice of that aparad nam, eventually the aparads will be purified by the potency of the holy name, by the mercy of Bhakti Devi. And we can enter the second phase of namabhasa. Offenses have been cleared, but we have no love of God. So it's just a shadow reflection of the holy name. But even that, a shadow of the name, immediately wipes out all sinful reactions. And one will attain liberation on the strength of namabhasa only. Then the third stage, when one develops actual attraction to Krishna, and finally love of God, then one enters the pure state when the holy name actually manifests all its potency. If we're still on the aparad level of chanting, which may be the case, we're still committing aparads against the holy name, not just against Krishna, then theoretically we should just go to hell. We have no salvation. But the dispensation is given that you can be purified of those offenses against the holy name by more chanting of the holy name. Constant. We have to not decrease on account of being offensive, but increase our chanting, because it's our only salvation. In Kali Yuga, the whole atmosphere, the whole civilization is demoniac. Ekali kale nahi kon dharma. There is no proper spiritual life in Kali Yuga. Everything is corrupted. Therefore, we have to take shelter of Krishna's names to save us from our own offenses, to save us from the thoroughly polluting environment that's pervading this whole world. You may be a proper brahmana. You may not meat may never have entered your mouth in all your life, but you're living in the city, you know, so proud of being a brahmana. You walk down the street, every time you walk down the street, the odor of cooking meat enters your nostrils. It's entering your body. You're contaminated by it. You can't avoid it. It's in the atmosphere, this contamination. Just by living in this world, you share the contamination. So there's no avoiding Kali Yuga. The demoniac spirit is very all-pervading. We have to take shelter of Krishna's names. And as Lord Chaitanya says, Vaishnava Vaishnava Shastra Ekohi Marma. The only protection, Krishna's names, the Vaishnavas and the Vaishnava Shastras, association, shelter of the devotees, and the Vaishnava Shastras, which in particular, especially, are the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're not telling the devotees they have to live in a monastery and never see the face of a non-devotee. The smarter brahmanas, when the British came to India, they were in a quandary because the British started to take control of the economy and the educational system. And you couldn't get a good job unless you cooperated with the British. But the smartest had such a rule, smarter Brahmins. If you even saw the face of a Malaycha once, you'd have to jump into the Ganges with all your clothes on. to purify yourself. It's, so contaminated to see the face of a Mlecha. And, how are you supposed to go to them to ask for employment? So it was a real challenge to the smarta principles. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami were rejected by the Brahmin community because they worked for the Muslim government. And they, out of humility, thought themselves fallen, that they had become lechers themselves, just by association. They called themselves very fallen and useless. That is out of their humility. But how should we consider ourselves? We don't have the spiritual status of Rupa and Sanatana, the devotion to Krishna. But we do have all the deficits of living in this age. Therefore, we can't be proud of anything we've accomplished or what family we were born into or anything. We have to take shelter of the Vaishnavas, of the Vaishnava Shastra, and especially of Krishna's names, and expect confidently that they'll protect us and elevate us. As Sanatana Goswami sings in his Bhagavad Mahima Stotra, Asadhu Saduta Dayin. You take the person who is asadhu, unsaintly, materialistic, and you make him into an actual saint. You take the unsaintly and make them saintly. You bestow that upon them. That is the power and the mercy of Srimad Bhagavatam. Ati nicho chata karan. You take the person who is degraded and condemned and disrespected by everyone for his bad qualities and his bad behavior. Ati nicho chata karan. And you raise him up to a high position. You elevate him. When you lose your reputation, when you've done horrible things, people don't forget. That stigma can remain with you for your whole life. But by the power of Srimad Bhagavatam, by that all-purifying power, even that stigma can be removed of having been a rascal and done terrible things. Adi nicho chata kara. So therefore, Sanatana Goswami prays to the Bhagavatam, please don't release me, don't let me go. You are my shelter, Madeka Bandha Matsangin, my only friend, my constant companion, Madguru, my spiritual master, and so on. Anyway, we have to take shelter like this. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? Yes, do you remember?
What is the literal meaning of smarta?
Smarta? Someone who follows the smriti. His authority is not Bhagavatam, but the Dharma Shastras. Dharma Shastras are the original smritis. Specifically smriti, although smriti is a broad category of literature that's not directly Vedas, but in pursuance of the Vedas. More specifically, smriti means the Dharma Shastras.
So they don't include Puranas.
No, they don't reject the Puranas, but they're primarily interested in the rules of behavior that are given in the Dharma Shastras by Manu and by other rishis. And then, because most people don't have very good understanding of the original Shastras, and there are a lot of complicated rules, and one Dharma Shastra may contradict another one. So in modern times, that means in the medieval times, various smriti sangrahas or commentary books were written by various smarta brahmanas. Raghunath is one of them, famous smriti kara. So he wrote his, I don't know what it was named, some smriti sangraha, collection of rules from various smritis, and he made adjustments. Just like if you read Garbhadhan Samskara is strictly explained as a ritual that must be performed every time you intend to have a child. But in modern times, the Smritikaras, the interpreters, considering the spirit of the time, that people don't want to bother with the actual purification, they make an adjustment in the rule. Okay, you can perform the Garbhadhan Samskara once at the marriage ceremony, and you don't have to do it again. Like that, they make adjustments. Actually cheating, changing the original principles. This is smarta tradition. People who follow these textbooks, they're smartas. And usually, Hindu society is divided into two groups of brahmanas, the smartas and the Vaishnavas. Yeah, but that's Smriti in a more restricted sense. Just the rule books about karma kanda. They're karma kandis, basically. Yeah, we're smart as in a sense we follow the Bhagavatam, it's a Smriti, but the word isn't used like that. Okay, we can also say we're Advaitavadis because we believe the Absolute Truth is one. But the term Advaitavadi has been ruined. It's been taken over by the Mayavadis. Yeah. Same thing with the term smarta has been taken over by these ritualistic karmakandis. Okay, any other questions? Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam.